Here's a thought I'll title More on Framing, because it's basically an extension of yesterday's commentary in which I asked the question, is the frame part of the artwork? Well, there's more to it than I could squeeze in that last discussion, so here's a few more thoughts. First, there is a fundamental difference between putting a print in a mat in a frame on the wall, which prompts the question, is that part of the artwork or not, and, for example, a folio or a chapbook. I'm assuming if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what folios and chapbooks are. And if you're not, you could learn more about them at my personal website, which is brooksjensenarts.com. But a folio, for example, has that art paper enclosure, which in my case include die cuts and my embossed signature. And so there are elements that are very definitely artistic that go beyond something that can be removed and still preserve the artwork. That's the thing about framing. If we take the print out of the frame, it's still the print. It's still the artwork. We can put it in a different mat or a different frame, and it'll still be the same artwork. But if you remove the art paper enclosure from a folio, suddenly it's no longer a folio. So in that presentation, folio covers definitely are a part of the artwork. And the same thing with chapbooks. The paper and the sewing and all the other elements of the medium are definitely part of the artwork. In fact, with chapbooks, they basically are the artwork, at least how it's manifest physically, content, of course, being something different. So one of the reasons that I like folios and chapbooks as a means to produce my artwork is it completely removes this question about whether or not the frame or the mat is part of the artwork. It becomes its own self-contained artistic unit. Then let's move on to PDFs. Years ago, when I first started playing around with PDFs more seriously, I was thinking of them as a means of publishing books. But with the passage of time, my thinking about PDFs changed. I now think that PDFs as a medium of expression can be just as valid as, say, a novel is, which can either be in book form, physically printed, or just ones and zeros that make letters on an e-reader. Whether I read a novel on my e-reader or tablet, or read it in the physical pages of the book, so in that case the medium changes dramatically, but it's still the same story. I feel that way about PDFs and photographs. It's a different medium. It requires different steps to consume it, and I understand all of that, not the least of which is that PDFs are not physical. But one of the great things about PDFs is not only that they can be distributed via the internet without having to involve myself in shipping boxes and postage and customs and all the rest of that, but PDFs don't need frames. As a matter of fact, a frame would feel sort of weird on a PDF. And they don't need artificial mats either. PDFs, at least the way I think about them, can be a perfectly acceptable medium of distribution for fine art photography. And although it's not an original print the way we used to think about original prints, gel and silver prints out of the darkroom, that kind of thing, it has the same order of reality as a book or as a poster. It's just not physical. And so the whole question about framing and mat board disappears. There is, however, a most curious holdover that I see repeatedly in PDFs that I view from other photographers. And that is, for some reason, photographers want to include a big white border all the way around the image content in their PDFs as though it's some sort of simulated mat board. In other words, they're trying to reproduce a mat board feel or a mat board-like presentation in an image on a tablet or a computer screen, and I ask, why? Why is that necessary? You're using huge amounts of square millimeters for just a simulated white mat board when it's not at all necessary. This is not a mat board environment. So if you're making PDFs, or as far as that goes, images on a web page have the same sort of thing, you don't need to have a white mat board, that space that surrounds the image with nothing in it. Why not just make a bigger image? You certainly don't need a white border nor black border as far as that goes. And if you do use some kind of a white border or a black border or whatever, there better be a reasonable reason for doing so. Another element about framing is, of course, most people frame with glass. And that puts not only a physical barrier between the viewer and the photographic paper, but it also can introduce all kinds of disturbing and distracting reflections off the glass that basically can ruin the experience of viewing the content of a photograph. So if you do use frames, maybe that's something to consider. Just eliminate the glass or the plastic and let the print breathe, let it have it contact with the air. Why not? Because it might get damaged? Well, it might. But, you know, if there's an earthquake and a matted and framed under glass print falls on the ground and crashes and the glass breaks, there's a pretty good chance it's going to be damaged there too. So damage is a part of life. And the one nice thing about digital prints is they're relatively easy to replace if need be. So I never use glass of any kind when I do frame on the rare occasions that I do. And I really like the intimacy that creates between me and the physical paper. And speaking of the physical paper, it was all the rage when I was growing up in photography to dry mount your photograph to a piece of mat board. And that required that you use dry mount tissue, which had to be archival and a little bit difficult to use and fussy. But not only that, you had to have a dry mount press. And if the mat board then ever gets damaged, removing the print from the mat board and discarding the dry mount tissue is a very complicated thing that basically requires a preservationist to do. So I never affix my prints to the mat board permanently. I use photo corners, and that gives people the ability to remove the print from the mat board should it need to be replaced, get soiled, or whatever the case may be. And the last comment I have about framing is please don't sign the mat board, which some photographers do, some historic photographers did. But of course, the problem is if the mat gets damaged or soiled or replaced, the signature goes with it. Sign the actual photographic paper itself, inkjet paper or gelatin silver paper, platinum plating paper, whatever. Sign that so that your signature always stays with the physical paper itself and never gets separated because it's on the mat board. So those are some additional random thoughts about framing. Lots to think about here. And isn't it great that as photography has matured over the last 100 years or so, we now have all these options that previous generations of photographers didn't have? I think it's the greatest time in the history of photography to be a photographer, which I know you've heard me say before, but it is, and I'm sticking by my guns.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.